This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
DET Files, the ultimate Lions podcast with Nate Lundy.
And welcome in. It is time for another edition of the podcast. So much to be able to talk about. All the action from week two. We'll be breaking it down. Offense, defense, all the injuries to talk about. Speaking of injuries and around the league, we will go around the league with the coach, Brian Billick. He joins us as well, as he always does each week, to give us his analysis on what happened in week two and even looking ahead to week three. And then this week in overtime from Sports Illustrated and Monday Morning Quarterback, Jenny Vrentis joins us to be able to go through our six-pack of questions. But as always, we kick things off with the big interview. Let's get to it.
The big interview.
It is time to talk Lions. To do that, the lead NFL writer at Real GM and also the editor at Side Lion Report, Jeff Risden, joins us. And Jeff, obviously a loss, putting the Lions at 1-1 after the really exciting win in week one against the Colts. We'll dive into some specifics, but maybe give me your overall thoughts following the loss against the Titans.
Yeah, it's very disappointing because they had momentum after winning in Indianapolis, a game that I don't think a lot of people expected them to win. This is a game when you have Tennessee coming to your home opener. The fans were very excited because this was the first ever game at Ford Field where the Lions had cheerleaders, which has been a big sticking point for a long time. And it was expected to be one of those games where, you know, the Lions put away what sure looked to be an inferior opponent, and it didn't happen for a variety of reasons. Some of which I'm sure we will get into here, but it's a very frustrating loss because it was a game that by and large, the Lions dominated the action on both sides of the ball and still came up losers. And that's a very tough pill to swallow.
Jeff, any truth to the rumor that you tried out to be a cheerleader?
No, my leg waxing days are behind me.
Okay, just, you know, we like to double check these things on the podcast so that we truly get to understand the folks that we're talking to for the interview. So I just wanted to make sure. As you look at the game, let's start off with the play of Matthew Stafford. What are your biggest takeaways from what you saw from him, both good and bad?
Yeah, he was very good in the first half. Good, crisp decisions with the ball, delivering a lot of strikes. Unfortunately, his receivers did not help him out. There were 4 drops in the first half. 3 of those drops went through 2 hands and hit the chest of the receiver. 2 of those were on Marvin Jones. 1 was on Golden Tate. Yes, Matthew Stafford throws a fastball, a big league fastball. It's Randy Johnson coming at you. But they didn't have that issue in the first game, so the drops didn't help him. Then he was the victim of a very controversial play where Jarrell Casey beat his man, got on the ground and crawled in and dropped Stafford from below the knees. After that, and Stafford got up hobbling. After that, he was not the same. He just wasn't getting the accuracy or velocity on the throws. You hate to use that as a bit of an excuse, but it really was a very tangibly noticeable change in Stafford and the demeanor of how he was throwing the ball. He did not end the game well. His last throw was picked off. The first interception he's thrown this year, threw it right to the defender sitting in the zone. He didn't see him there. So it was one of those deals where he was off to a great start. Again, he was very good against Indianapolis, one of the best games I've ever seen him play. and he just couldn't finish this game. There was a lot of frustration. He was very upset about not getting the penalty on the Casey play. He was very upset with his receivers getting drops. He was very upset with all the penalties in the game, which was the overarching theme of the game. It seemed like the game took forever and had absolutely no flow, yeah. And that impacted both quarterbacks, both him and Mariota. But, yeah, I've always said this about Matthew Stafford. This is my pat answer with him. He's good. He's got to be better. In the first week, he was better. In the second week, he wasn't, and that's the difference between a win and a loss.
As of the time that we record this, Jeff, what's the latest that you're hearing about Ameer Abdullah?
He is in North Carolina getting his foot looked at by a surgical specialist. The foot is not broken, and it's weird because he injured apparently on the run where he sashayed through the defense and then made a couple of defenders just look absolutely stupid, and did not play after that. I haven't heard any specifics on it. The Lions are not expecting him this week. Beyond that, it's hard to say. It did not look like a long-term injury. And most of the people that I've talked with think that if he does miss a week or two, that's probably the extent of it. It doesn't look like it's something that needs surgery. But then again, you never know with these things. And the Lions have bought into the veil of secrecy on injuries. They're notoriously difficult to get information out of these days. So at the same time, it wouldn't be, you know, has a Lisfranc injury and is gone for the year. But it really doesn't look like that.
Well, and we're also talking about you know, a foot injury, which, you know, it sometimes can linger around. We know Sammy Watkins is dealing with a similar kind of deal in Buffalo, where, you know, he's basically said, hey, I'm just going to have to play through the pain. And that could be what Abdullah has to do. He's visiting with Dr. Anderson, Robert Anderson in North Carolina, as you referenced, to be able to get, as of the time that we record this, to be able to get an opinion on where he sits. If he's not available, he's not available for an extended period of time. You know, we know that Theo Riddick is obviously an option. You know, Dwayne Washington. You know, what do they do from a running back standpoint, Jeff, if Abdullah is shelved for a while?
I think you saw Dwayne Washington get some reps in the Tennessee game, and he looked okay. He unfortunately tried to be the lateral wizard that both Riddick and Abdullah are. They're two of the nimblest backs in the league. Dwayne Washington at 6'2" and 235 pounds is not a nimble man and tried to do it. When he puts his head down and goes forward, he can be really effective and has been effective. So I think you'll see him get more carries. I think they'll activate Zach Zenner, move him up the depth chart a little bit. He's shown some flashes in preseason. He's a guy who's not very dynamic, but he does a good job of executing the plays, falls forward, catches the ball, and you know, has some promise. I don't see them necessarily coming in and bringing anybody off the street. They did like George Wynn last year. He's on their practice squad right now. He could be promoted. He's a special teams ace, so that would certainly, you know, benefit and affect. I really don't see them looking outside. I think you are going to see Theo Riddick be the lead back, with Dwayne Washington getting the bulk of the rest of the carries.
Well, now we look ahead to week three and even maybe a little bit, Jeff, to week four, as we know that there's now back-to-back divisional games for the Lions, going on the road against the Packers, then going to Chicago, where, you know, the Bears look like a small dumpster fire right now. But let's start with Green Bay. You know, obviously the Packers are going to be frustrated in losing the divisional game on Sunday night against the Vikings. So here come the Detroit Lions to town, and with the Packers thinking about where they stand within the division. So give me an early preview of kind of what you're expecting out of this Detroit team going on the road.
Yeah, you know what? The Lions have matched up quite well with the Packers lately. They haven't always gotten many wins. In fact, they have one win in the state of Wisconsin since 1992. That happened to be last year. They match up well. What Detroit does well directly attacks what Green Bay does not do well. And that's our defensive line. The Lions' defensive line is very good. They're deep. They can bring pressure from all different angles. Now, Ziggy Ansah is also – he left the Tennessee game after the third play. We don't know what his injury status is. If he's not in, that's a huge loss. Although Kerry Hyder does have 2.5 sacks in the first couple of games, he's not Ziggy Ansah, obviously. The other issue that the Lions have, and they have to get this fixed, they do not cover the middle of the field well on defense. Tight ends have killed them in the first two games, also crossing routes and dump passes to running backs. Aaron Rodgers is pretty darn good at those things, so they'll have to shore that up. On the other side of the ball, I do think the Lions will find some success because other than Lakin Tomlinson at left guard, the offensive line is playing surprisingly well. The Lions are averaging 6 yards per carry over the first 2 weeks, which is phenomenal for them. It's nearly double what they did 2 years ago. And the fact that they do have a viable running game certainly helps Stafford and some balance to the offense. And it also sets up, you know, more favorable plays where he can take some shots down the field. Now, Green Bay's secondary did not look all that great the other night, but that's a talented group. They're going to be playing at home. I will never forecast a Lions win in Green Bay, but they are certainly good enough to pull it off and keep it close anyways, even if they can't ultimately win.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is it one of those where, you know, for Lions fans, you go in and say, okay, we just want to see single digits? I mean, I guess where would you set the expectations against the Packers on the road?
I don't know what the early line is. I haven't looked at that yet, but I would expect that it's probably about 5.5 points, and that's if they can cover, that would be a nice moral victory. I'd take that because this is one of those that when you're going through at the beginning of the season and you're doing the wins and losses for every game, every Lions fan puts in black Sharpie L next to at Green Bay.
Yeah, always have to go through, you know, usually sometime in early May, we're trying to predict wins and losses. This sounds like one that is easy for you to be able to lock down. Great visiting about what's going on with the Lions. Jeff Risden has been my guest. He's on Twitter, at Jeff Risden, the lead NFL writer at Real GM and also the editor of Side Lion Report. Make sure you check him out and follow him up on Twitter. Jeff, appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
Wonderful pleasure being with you. Thanks so much.
There goes Jeff. Coming up next, the coach, Brian Billick.
Around the league.
It is time, as always, for us to go around the NFL, and to do that, we are joined by the coach, Brian Billick. He's presented by SeatGeek, reminding you that you can visit SeatGeek.com or you can download the SeatGeek app. Always make sure that you, your friends, your family are getting the best deal on tickets. Doesn't matter if it's a sporting event or a concert, SeatGeek helps you out with the amazing technology of Deal Score, so make sure that you have the SeatGeek app on your phone the next time you and your family are ready to head out to the big game or to a concert. Coach, let's start with Monday Night Football, where we know that Jay Cutler injured his hand, was not able to go back into the game, but more of the talk seems to be about whether or not Jay Cutler is really the right guy or the right future for Chicago. I suppose we could argue that what other choice do they have? What is your take on what you've seen from Jay Cutler and from the Bears?
Well, yeah, it's a tough question. It's always difficult to separate the play of a quarterback from what's going around him. Yeah, it's been a tough go for Jay Cutler, not the least of which is the fact that he's had something along the line of 6 or 7 different coordinators, therefore 6 or 7 basically different systems over the time he's been in Denver over the last 8 years. So I don't know of any quarterback that's going to function well in that situation. It may be time for Chicago to move on. What's gone under the bridge, so to speak, by way of Jay Cutler, it just hasn't been successful. This is not a very good football team. So for them to totally reshuffle the deck and try to move forward might be the thing to do.
When you look on the other side of the ball, Coach, you've got 2 games under Carson Wentz's belt and 2 wins. Granted, 1 against Chicago, 1 against Cleveland. However, what have you seen from the rookie that's impressed you the most?
Yeah, I mean, the schedule maker certainly made it certainly an easier pass for this rookie to start out when talking about the 2 teams he's had to face. But having said that, you can't help but be impressed with what Carson Wentz has done. He seems to be very calm in the pocket, so to speak. You know, if you want to be nitpicky, third down has not been still real productive. I think he was 3 of 10 in the first game. He's 3 of 15 this game. So sustaining drives is something. But that will come as the rookie continues to mature in the system. And also the fact that the Eagles are staying committed to the run as best they can. You know, they ran it better than 30 times and only had 100 yards. But it shows you that they're trying to keep that balance for Carson Wentz. He threw it 37 times in the first game, 34 times last night. That's ambitious for a rookie quarterback. Now, we'll see going forward whether they maintain this. The schedule's obviously going to get a little bit tougher for them as they go down the way. You know, obviously in Cleveland and Chicago having their difficulties as they try to, you know, piece some wins together here. But we're going to find out, you know, the fact that he did it at home and the fact that he did it, you know, on the road. We're going to find out this week because all but at home, they're going to face the Pittsburgh Steelers. and he's going to go across from Ben Roethlisberger.
Coach, when you look at what the Patriots have been doing without Tom Brady, what's the most impressive part of it to you?
Well, anytime you lose your quarterback and then your backup quarterback, of course, we kind of get used to it with New England, don't we? We just kind of think they're going to overcome anything. This will be an interesting challenge on a short week, playing a very good Houston team. Brissett, the young rookie, obviously came in, you know, they spotted him 24-point lead, so obviously life was pretty good at that point. The key for him, and obviously Bill Belichick knows this, is to let that talent around you win for you. If they can get Gronkowski back, they have Martellus Bennett, this Julian Edelman. Those are some pretty good inside targets to help get the ball out of your hand quickly. I imagine we're going to see a lot of sprints and boots and waggles by Brissett to get out from behind the pocket. But this is going to be a challenge for you now because Houston, all but at home for New England, where they're almost unbeatable. The good thing is the cavalry is on the way in a couple of weeks when they're going to get Brady back.
When you look at what the Buffalo Bills have been doing, there are a lot of folks that believe this is Rex Ryan's sort of last rodeo here and that the Bills have not been living up to the expectation of the fans or of the team. What are you seeing out of the Bills, and is this Rex Ryan's last run?
Well, the fact that he came in from a division opponent after he got fired from New York and the expectations took over the number one rated defense in the league and it has not performed well. And the fact that now that they're 0-2 and they've got Arizona and all but New England. Now, you know, it's Tom Brady-less New England. It may be a Jimmy Garoppolo-less New England. If they should struggle and lose to Arizona and then somehow at New England, and again, New England's a tough place to play, particularly without those two individuals, and lose, you know, an 0-4 Buffalo Bills team, you've already fired your offensive coordinator. It's going to be a tough road to hoe for Buffalo.
What are you seeing that are the struggles right now for the Seattle Seahawks, Coach? Very shocking, I suppose, for just about anybody to see the L.A. Rams wind up beating them this past weekend. They just don't seem to be in sync on offense. What are you seeing with the Seahawks?
Well, we saw this early last year. Remember, they started 0-2 last year, but I think it begins with the offensive line. They're struggling on the offensive line, so therefore they're not running the ball well. They're not protecting Russell Wilson as well. Russell Wilson finally will be likely a plus 500 throw quarterback this year, and I think he's up to it. Up to this point, he's been under 450 throws every year. Why? Because they play great defense and run the ball. Defense is not playing as well. Solid, but not as well as we've seen, particularly in their Super Bowl run. So, yeah, it's a cascading set of events. It doesn't mean it can't get better if Russell Wilson's ankle gets a little bit better, if they can shore up the offensive line a little bit. But, again, the Seattle Seahawks teams that have gone on this great run, it was anchored by league-leading defense, top-five rushing attack, and they have neither one of those right now.
And are they missing, you talked about the running game, is it not just missing the running game but missing Marshawn Lynch specifically? Are they missing that sort of, you know, downhill Mack truck rushing attack?
Yeah, I think the physicality of Marshawn Lynch was a mentality that played into the formula for them. You get a little bit extra from Russell Wilson on the edges when he scrambles around. And so I think the way they're running the ball right now, and again, it goes back to the offensive line. I just don't think that they're performing at a level that lends itself. I mean, you talk about that called smash-mouth physical play. That's not what Seattle is right now.
When the Vikings managed to get the win to open up the brand-new stadium, one of the comments that I had made, Coach, a couple of weeks ago was that this might be the best team that Sam Bradford's ever been on, and so maybe we will finally see the Sam Bradford that everybody expected coming out of college. Did you see that in the home win on Sunday night?
Yeah, when you begin with the defense, the way they're playing defense, which is just spectacular, you know, and when you look at this defense, you got to love it. Outside of Matt Barr, you name somebody on the Minnesota Viking defense. Linville Joseph is obviously pretty good, but they don't have those marquee, okay, yeah, they're anchoring their defense. They're just playing great team defense, and Mike Zimmer gets a lot of credit for that. Depending upon when Adrian Peterson can come back, they haven't been running the ball pretty well. I think that goes back to the offensive line to a degree. I think it also goes back to the fact that when you go back and look last year, Adrian Peterson ran for better than 1,400 yards. His best game was against the Oakland Raiders. I went back and looked at that game. He was in the eye. They had two tight ends. They were playing a physical running game. The fact that they're doing more and more out of the gun, I don't know that suits the running style, certainly not of Adrian Peterson. I'm not sure they wouldn't be better served to get back into the eye and two tight ends, let Sam Bradford hand the ball off or play action fake and send them, throw the ball down the field. And with that great defense, that can be a good winning formula for this team because they're clearly a good football team.
On the other side of it from Sunday night, the Packers. Coach, what are you seeing that you like and what has you concerned with Green Bay?
Well, everybody thought when Jordy Nelson came back, life would be fine, that everything was going to be okay at that point. I think there's a little more to it. I think the defense, obviously, there's still some question marks there. Aaron Rodgers doesn't, although he's still making some just spectacular throws. The fact that he goes back to Minnesota playing so good on defense, Aaron Rodgers under 60%. He's not having the efficiency that we're used to seeing with Aaron Rodgers. With the running game, Eddie Lacy, the slimmed down Eddie Lacy, is not necessarily generating the productivity you'd like to see. I'm not sure I wouldn't go back. It's not my place to second guess Mike McCarthy. He's an excellent play caller. But the up-tempo, high-paced Green Bay, they like that no huddle. I'm not sure they might not be better off going back to a more structured offense, control the clock a little bit more, and let Aaron Rodgers operate from that standpoint.
Speaking of defense, through the first 2 weeks, we've seen the New York Giants give up only 32 points, 19 to the Cowboys, and, of course, 13 this past week in holding the Saints in check. Obviously, the Giants have been impressive through 2 weeks with this new revamped defense.
Yeah, it's nice to see that $200 million can buy you something in today's economy. They went out and spent a bunch of money on that defense. They're playing like a top 10 defense compared to last year, which, that's what they needed to approach, where they were literally last in the league. So that's quite a jump, going from last in the league in defense to jumping into the top 10. Now, we've only got two games, so we got a long way to go. But it was obviously money well spent. And then when you throw in, obviously, this emerging dynamic wide receiving core with OBJ, and obviously it's good to see Cruz back into it, and this young man Shepard, the rookie. That's quite a threesome. You'd have to go back in the Giants, back to the 2011 team when they had Plexico Burress and Victor Cruz was a part of that. Go back even further to 2007. This is clearly the best wide receiving core that we've seen out of New York.
Always great stuff with the coach, Brian Billick. He's brought to us each and every week on the NFL Files by our friends at SeatGeek. Make sure you've got that SeatGeek app on your phone or visit SeatGeek.com so you can make sure you, your family, friends, always getting the best deal on tickets. Check out Deal Score that makes sure that the tickets you've got, you can look at that stadium view and know that you're getting the best deal. Coach, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned. Overtime coming up next.
Overtime.
It is time for overtime, and to do that this week from Sports Illustrated, a Monday morning quarterback, Jenny Vrentas joins us. Jenny, we do a six-pack of questions here in overtime, so let's start here. Question number one, are you on the Carson Wentz bandwagon?
I'm halfway on. I think the first two wins, it's great to get off the 2-0 start. I think he and Doug Peterson and the offensive coaching staff have done a great job. I think he's still, like any young quarterback, still has a lot of room to grow. I hate to make any judgments after two games, but certainly how quickly he's gotten into the game and been able to make some of the throws and decisions he's made, he's certainly impressed me.
All right, so you're not on the bus quite yet, but you might be standing at the bus stop is what you're saying.
There you go. That's a great way to say it.
Okay, good. Question number two, Jenny, what right now do you think is the biggest problem facing the NFL?
Health and safety. I think it's, ultimately will determine the future of the game, how we view the game. Are we comfortable watching the game, sending our kids to play the game? So I think how the NFL and the sport of football handle health and safety over the next 10 to 15 years is critical in determining the direction of the sport.
All right. Question number three. Who right now is your current NFL player that's your favorite to interview?
Favorite player to interview? That is a great question.
Or maybe just a favorite one you've done recently. I know it's hard to single one out.
Favorite one. Right. It is hard to single one out. I always enjoy visiting with the Cardinals. They have a lot of really interesting, honest guys. And I was out there in August, and I think Tyrann Mathieu was just so fun to interview. The energy that he brings his team on the field, he just makes him so interesting off the field to talk to as well. So he's definitely a guy that I really enjoy talking with.
All right. Question number five for us here, or question number four, excuse me, as we go through. Is Rex Ryan overrated as a head coach?
I've covered Rex for a long time. I do not question his ability at all as a defensive-minded coach. Now, head coach is a big difference, but I still don't believe that he's overrated, because I think he gets a lot of criticism that he doesn't necessarily deserve. I think he can win. I do not believe that he is on the hot seat as much as people want to say this year. So, no, I do not think he's overrated as a head coach.
As you followed the question number five here, as you followed the AFC East, there's been a lot of discussion about Darrelle Revis and whether or not he has faded as a defender. Do you buy into that? Is it time for him to slide over to safety? What's your take on Darrelle Revis?
He is certainly not playing at the same level he played at in 2009, 2010. That was when he was at the top of the mountain. So when we're used to seeing a player who lines up one-on-one with a receiver and man coverage all the time, very often with no help at all, that's so rare and unusual. So watching him now, he's not that same player. That much is clear. I don't believe it's time to put him safety yet. I think he can still be effective as a cornerback. It's just a different kind of cornerback. He's not that kind of guy you can stick on an island anymore. And that's okay. There aren't many of those guys in the game. But I think he can still be an effective cornerback.
All right, final question in our six-pack of questions here for you, Jenny. We love to do this early in the season, so we might as well do it here. If you had to hand out the NFL's MVP award after the first 2 weeks, who would you give it to?
MVP award after the first 2 weeks. Well, it's not a player, but I give it to Belichick for winning two games. But that's coach of the year, and you asked MVP award. I'm going with Von Miller.
All right. Well, see, and you're not far off, because last year on my radio show, I actually said that I thought the MVP of the league was Wade Phillips. So for you to give it to Bill Belichick after 2 weeks kind of makes sense, right?
Right. But yeah, I mean, that Denver defense, Miller's a good choice. I know a defensive player hasn't won since Lawrence Taylor, but I'm sticking with Miller right now.
There she is, Jenny Ventress from Sports Illustrated Monday Morning Quarterback. You find her on Twitter at Jenny Ventress, V-R-E-N-T-A-S. Jenny, appreciate the time for joining us on the NFL Files. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Really appreciate Jenny's time. That'll do it. That wraps up our podcast for this week. Make sure you're checking out all the archives posted up at audioboom.com. All you got to do is search NFL Files, listen for your favorite team or for any of the teams around the NFL. My name is Nate Lundy. Talk to you next week.
This has been a Sports Show production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsshow.com.